If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome back to my weekly Friday Five podcast with me, Liz Earle, bringing you news and views from the wonderful world of Liz Earle wellbeing and beyond. And this week, well, I have to say it's been a real focus on menopause matters with Davina McCall's literally brilliant documentary over on Channel 4, which aired on Wednesday night. I do hope that you had a chance to watch this, or maybe you will be able to see it on catch up. And I have to say, I was hoping for good things, having seen a rough advance edit, but I was even more impressed with the final version. And massive hats off and kudos to the documentary writer and producer, Kate Muir. I thought it was just brilliant, and so did thousands of others, judging by just how busy Twitter was that night. Oh my goodness, we even had menopause trending at one point, which was great to see. So with this in mind, alongside the other major news this week with the launch of the brilliant new menopause charity today, yes, today, Friday the 14th of May, if you are listening to me in real time, of course. So I thought that I would invite one of the most respected menopause educators right onto the pod here, Dr. Radhika Vora, an NHS and private GP with a special interest in women's health, menopause and education. Not only an educator and trainer of doctors and nurses in the area of menopause, but also a founding trustee of the Menopause Charity. And there is just so much to say on all of this. So let's dive in right now with this chat here. So Radhika, thank you so much for finding the time in this incredibly busy week, busy and exciting week, to join us to talk about so many things, menopause and education particularly.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. And there's been such an excitement because obviously on Wednesday evening we had Davina's incredible documentary and extraordinary work from her and producer, writer Kate Muir. And the response, you know, I have to say, I don't think I've ever had such a busy evening on Twitter that night, particularly in every single ad break. We were just all over it. There was so much comment. I mean, I know Davina Menopause was trending on Twitter. And what did you think of it? What do you think of the programme?
Oh, I thought it was brilliant. I think it's really going to step things up and change the momentum in terms of what we think about menopause and get that conversation going. It's just so necessary. There's so many women, you know, it is half of the population. It's really important and it's an issue that isn't going to go away. And I think the programme just put it out there for everybody to recognise how important it is.
And one of the things that shocked me actually was reading some of the comments, and there weren't many, but there were a few negative. Some people saying, oh, I can't believe all this talk about menopause. You know, why are women banging on about it? It's just a natural thing. You know, it's always been ever thus. And in fact, for me, this is something that is relatively new, because for the first time in history, women are living longer than ever. And, you know, no longer are we, you know, shuffling off at 60. Was it the average age for females' death in the UK is 84? So, you know, you're likely to have 30 or more years of menopause more if you include perimenopause and menopause. So, you know, what's your view as a GP and an educator in terms of, you know, quality of life for older women now?
I think it actually makes it more important than ever. When I trained 20 years ago, the average age expectancy, we were happy with 65, 70. Now women, like you say, are spending 40 plus years in their menopausal state. They're working longer. They're looking after generations on either side, elderly parents and children or their children as well. And they physically want a lot more from their bodies. And the expectations of society are such. But actually, aside from that, it's the medical impacts the lack of estrogen has that we need to be more aware of and recognise the risks that it brings with it. And they can be managed far better.
I think that is so interesting, and talking to you as a GP and an educator is really important, because we often focus on the benefits, of course, because that, you know, it's self-interest, and we feel so much better as women when we replace our estrogen. We sleep better, we have less anxiety, we get rid of our aches and pains in our bones, and, you know, recurrent UTIs and all of those things, you know, are fixed. But surely, as health professionals, the help for reduced risk of coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, potentially Alzheimer's, osteoporosis, or, you know, obviously first line of treatment, or should be with replacing missing hormones. As we get older, and there's so much concern, isn't there, in the health service about how are we going to fund all this, then surely, yeah, HRT, which is cheap as chips, you know, hormones, natural hormones, really very, very inexpensive and very safe, that must be an increasing concern for GPs and their surgeries.
No, absolutely it is. And I think it's a massive concern for the NHS on the whole. We have a, you know, increasing population that's ageing, and diseases such as heart disease, diabetes and osteoporosis have been on the radar and projection for NHS to tackle for many, many years. What hasn't been held hand in hand in that is that how that impacts women. And dementia is another one that's really important to mention, because women will keep coming back to general practice, and we should be looking at medicine in our countries as a preventative way as well. How can we prevent the disease coming? Not only how can we manage it? And I think the training has to take that into account.
Well, interesting that you bring up the word training, because one of the key things that came out of Davina's documentary was making the point that there is so little, if any, mandatory practice-based menopause care for GPs. And there was a lot of chat on Twitter about this. And then the Royal College of GPs actually started to reply to some of the comments, and, you know, almost gaslighting women by saying, oh, GPs are trained, you know, it is in the curriculum. And, well, I have to tell you, in all the years that I've been talking to menopause doctors and GPs, I have not come across a single doctor who said to me, oh yes, we had plenty of training, you know, I was perfectly well prepared to be able to talk to 51% of my patients who are female, bearing in mind all of whom will have a perimenopause and menopause if they live long enough, all of them. It's not, you know, a maybe, like so many of the other medical conditions. Every single one will be affected, and yet none of them seem to be getting good training. What is really happening in terms of training for doctors at the moment?
So I think the training really originates from how they are trained at medical school. So my training over 20 years ago was no medical training in menopause.
None at all?
None at all, no.
So medical school is what, sorry, 5 years?
5 to 6 years, yeah.
5 to 6 years, 51% of your patients are going to be women, and there was nothing?
Nothing.
Okay.
And then after that, you may do an obs and gynae rotation as part of your training to be a GP, during which it's so at the discretion of who you come across and who teaches you. But a lot of that work is ward-based. It's about learning about women's management when they're in hospital, whether they've just had a baby or if they've got other gynecological issues. It doesn't teach you how to practically manage menopause. I think that's the part of the problem here, Liz, is nobody's taking ownership of who will manage menopausal women and the problems that menopause gives them. And whether GPs embrace it or not, it is a primary care issue. It's something that can be managed in general practice.
Sure.
And that's what it's about.
Well, where do GPs go then to get their training? So, you know, if you're a GP, you've gone through medical school, you've had no mention of menopause, you do your GP training, which is what, a further 3 years, is it?
Yeah.
A further 3 years. You may or may not do an obs and gynae module as part of that, which may or may not include a bit of menopause. So let's say it doesn't. How then are you expected to help women who come into a surgery?
So in the third year of training, the whole year will be placed in general practice, and one day a week of that is learning. So they'll be going to educational sessions, which, with my educator hat on, I do women's health and menopause with my trainees, but that will vary area to area. And I think that the emphasis has to be placed on getting the practical learning out there, or even after qualifying as a GP, by getting the fears taken away. Because if many GPs don't want to manage menopause, they can very easily avoid it. And, you know, at the moment, it's not something that they have to actively go ahead and manage, and they can circle around the issues by either prescribing alternatives to estrogen or claiming statements like women that I saw at the beginning were telling me, you know, it's just part and parcel of being a woman, or it's just something I have to live with. And we hear women say this all the time.
This is a real shocker. And you are in a unique position here, I guess, because you are a GP, you are an educator, and you work within the NHS, and you provide training for doctors. I mean, how amazing that this is happening now going forward. How does that training compare? If you're a GP, for example, how much training would you get on other diseases that perhaps aren't quite so prevalent, or, you know, that important, but don't affect all women? So, for example, you know, diabetes or asthma.
Yeah, no, I think that the difference between the two is starking. I mean, I've had 2-day courses on asthma. I've had 2 to 3 day courses on starting insulin and managing diabetes. But yet we have the full support of nurses who help us hugely manage complex patients with diabetes and asthma in general practice. So day to day, I'm not seeing the patients who need my input in these diseases. But as a GP, day to day, you are getting women coming back with the symptoms that are hugely impacting their life and devastating for their daily functioning, but they're not being proactively treated or approached as well. And we've got the evidence there that we can treat them better.
So if as a GP you were getting 2 or 3 days on, you know, how to use insulin, for example, how much time do you get on how to use estrogen?
You get what you invest. So if you pursue it,
there was a bit of a deafening silence there, Radhika. Are you telling me that there is none that's mandatory for GPs?
There is none that is mandatory that I'm aware of.
Okay, so, and I know that you, this is obviously very important, and it's something that you are very involved with. I've heard of a training program called 14 Fish for GPs and for prescribing nurses. How does that work?
So it's amazing. It's a marvellous intervention that's been made, because there's a program, an educational program, which was called Confidence in Menopause Training. And through 6 hours, you can manage menopause, starting from the beginning to all the different conditions that concern people, such as breast cancer, clot history, or older women, or even skin changes with menopause. And it talks you through all of them with cases. And that gives you the practical tools to then be able to relate them to patients you'll see in practice.
That's an online course that GPs, and presumably GPs are used to doing top-up training and staying current all the time. So that this wouldn't be a new thing, you know, to hop online and do 6 hours of further training.
No, since the pandemic, it's become very much second nature to have this flexible online learning that you can dip in and out of at your convenience. And also, alongside it, you get the support of a community in a forum where you can ask questions, bounce any queries you may have, and feel that support of having a community of people all training on the same pathway as you.
And that's really important, isn't it? Because we know that there is so much outdated information that GPs are also battling with. So, you know, on the one hand, you've got the fact that there's nothing in medical school. There may or may not be a few hours in GP training. Once you are faced then with women who are menopausal, very commonly sitting in your surgery, you'll look at the website, and for something like transdermal estrogen, it's the information there just isn't current. The MHRA have got the wrong information up there, saying that you can't give transdermal estrogen if you have a history of migraine or blood clot, when we know that you can. So GPs are in a very difficult position, aren't they? They haven't been trained. And then when they do go online, then the computer is giving them the wrong information.
No, absolutely. It is challenging for them. And I have to say, they work exceptionally hard. I don't think anyone I know, and I believe none of them, will wake up and think, what can I do really badly today? They're all trying their best, but we're also very apt at balancing uncertainty and weighing up benefits and risks. We do this all the time. This is part and parcel of managing in general practice and providing patients care. And we also have the beauty of being able to call patients back, reviewing them, being able to provide tests for them if we need to. It's not something that you would give HRT and never see your patient again. But those alerts come up for a lot of drugs, and we're very used to managing them. So we know some of the information's out of date. And I don't think that should be something that should be putting professionals off, provided they get the training and they get the reassurance. But it's about engaging into what our motive is here. It's about helping women and empowering them to have better lives.
Yes. And I remember talking to Dr. Louise Newson, and she was saying, you know, in one hand, her job is really hard because it's devastating that the endless number of patients that she sees and her fellow GPs see who have been denied HRT, who've been given the wrong treatment, whose lives have been ruined for, you know, maybe a decade or more, and, you know, jobs lost and marriages broken down and, you know, driven right to the brink in many cases. So on that side of things, it is quite devastating what she's hearing. But then on the other side, she said it's the most rewarding job, because replacing a few natural hormones, actually women regain their lives and confidence and quality of life, and the gratitude and the job satisfaction, you know, that comes from that, she says, is just extraordinary. So it's the most rewarding part of medicine that she's ever worked in.
No, absolutely. And I think, I mean, I remember my mum having hot flushes, and she got very little support, and I wasn't medically trained, and it was incredibly frightening watching her go through them. My mum now is much older. She's got high blood pressure, diabetes, and she's had a stroke. And I can't help but wonder how different she could have been managed. But aside from that, it's so rewarding treating women, like you say, and it's transformational medicine.
I love that. I love that word, transformational medicine. I mean, surely that's got to be the dream ticket, hasn't it, for every doctor?
Yeah, who wouldn't want to practice transformational medicine? You know, yeah. You can see somebody who's really struggling and transform their life. And, you know, I can give you lots of examples of that. It happens every day. And it's sad if they're being given medication that has very little evidence, or being fobbed off, or feeling fobbed off even, and not being given that opportunity to feel better.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, there was a lot of chat, wasn't there, at the beginning of the documentary about antidepressants. And as we know, there is no clinical evidence to show that antidepressants help with low mood or depression brought on by lowered estrogen. I mean, why would an antidepressant help replace your estrogen? I mean, it's for clinical depression. So at least I hope if that's one simple message that can get out, that would be helpful. And it seems very much a postcode lottery as well. Looking at that map that Davina showed of the UK, it seems that the very few menopause specialist centres that there are in the UK, they're quite concentrated, aren't they, down in the south?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, there's a huge huge difference geographically. I mean, last year there was a study published by the British Journal of General Practitioners in that journal, and it showed that women in the north are 29% less likely to get HRT. And there's a huge socioeconomic difference as well. And that's where the charity really wants to help bridge that gap by allowing every practice to have the opportunity to gain education and specialism, but also providing translation material and counselling material which is user-friendly for women.
I know that you've worked a lot, haven't you, with minority groups, because there is an added risk as well, isn't there, with some of the ethnic groups. Can you talk a little bit about that?
No, of course. And it's a hugely under-recognised risk. And for example, South Asian groups have a higher tendency of diabetes, heart disease, bone disease and osteoporosis. But it's not completely unrecognised how important estrogen is to them. And there's a real taboo in a lot of the communities about approaching estrogen and a fear of the exaggerated link with breast cancer. So women will avoid that. And they'll lose the benefits and the risk reduction that estrogen therapy can give them. And hence, they end up living with the burden of tremendous disease. And it's really incredibly sad. And I've been trying to get the information out there and more accessible for them. But I think that it is a little bit of creating that domino effect that the programme and the charity aims to do. And, the more we talk about this, it'll be more recognised.
Oh, for sure. And that there is going to be a lot of chat. And let's talk about the charity, because this, I feel that there should be, a trumpet voluntary or a fanfare at the very least, because today is the day. It is the official launch day for the Menopause Charity. And I'm very proud to be an ambassador. And of course, you're a trustee. Is that right? Focusing on the educational side?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And we talked a bit about 14 Fish and the medical programme, and really big news, I mean, it's such exciting news today, is that the charity is actually donating a course, that the 14 Fish menopause training course, the online course, and all the resources to every single GP practice in the UK. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. So we're delighted to collaborate with 14 Fish and provide this Confidence in Menopause training, which is completely pharmaceutical sponsorship free and written by specialists, and giving the support as well and the guide through of practical cases to one practitioner, whether it's a nurse or a doctor, in every practice in the UK. And privately bought, it's £135, but what we're trying to say is we can educate everybody to provide better care to the women that their practice serves.
Gosh, that is incredibly generous. How many GP practices are there in the UK?
There's 1,350 that's going to go out.
So let's just get this straight. Every single GP practice in the UK is going to receive a notification that somebody in their practice, whether it's a GP or a practice nurse, prescribing nurse, can have access to this free resource, the training modules, and all the aftercare, presumably, the connections and the support group, completely free. So it should be that whenever any woman rings up a GP surgery and wants to talk about menopause symptoms and says, actually, can I speak to whoever has the specialisation or a bit of current knowledge on menopause, that rather than just getting this sort of, oh, well, we don't have anybody response, or we'll add you to a waiting list and maybe refer you to a consultant who also, by the way, may not have had any menopause training, but that's a whole other story. There will be somebody and they'll say, oh, yes, you can see nurse so-and-so or doctor so-and-so, and they'll be absolutely able to help you. I mean, this is revolutionary stuff, isn't it? I mean, talk about working from the grassroots up, rather than coming from the top down. This is, we're not just waiting for, the Royal College of GPs or whoever, MHRA, to insist on training. It's like, guys, here it is. This is NHS approved. You can have it. It's free. Please take it up. What do we need to be doing then? How can we help as women? I know that there are a lot of women out here who are very motivated, especially after the documentary, to know what we can be doing to make a difference.
So what women can do is start talking about menopause, which I know is already happening. It's buzzing, but carry on, keep that momentum going. There's a fantastic app called the Balance app, which they can use, and that will give them access to a community, some support, a way of logging their symptoms and taking that along to their practice and actually probing their practice, saying, we know there's information available. We know training has been offered. Who's taking it up? And I think that's what we really need to do. We need to start, like you say, at the grassroots and change the approach to menopause, and finally supporting the charity.
I think that's a really, really great three simple takeaways there. You know, firstly, because it's very topical, I guess if you're speaking to your GP practice, or you're going in, or you're contacting somebody, or you're chatting online or whatever, just say, I hear that this, 14 Fish Menopause Charity offer has been made for free training. Which one of the practitioners is taking it up? Just ask the question, put it out on the radar. As you say, individually downloading the free Balance app, which is brilliant. I saw, actually, I think it was on the Menopause Doctor newsletter or the website, that it's won an award in the Apple Store. And it's just so great to see it. And again, it's completely free. This is a free resource, yeah, Isn't it, for everybody? So great to have the symptom tracking there and the support community on the app. And then, of course, last but not least, to support the Menopause Charity. And I know there's going to be a lot of fundraising going on for things like education and also for research, because women's healthcare research around this area does seem to be very underfunded as well, doesn't it? So that's perhaps another area of discussion for the future.
No, absolutely. Research is much needed, and the Balance app supports research. So being part of the app, you are helping the research as well. And it's only through research and practice that will shake off the misconceptions and the myths that we've held on to for two decades. So we need to move forward with that research as well.
We really do. And I think hopefully all of us here involved working with menopause, and you specifically, and all the doctors working who are very focused on it, far more so than just commentators like me. Are you sensing that the tide is turning? Are you feeling a little bit more hopeful perhaps after this week?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think it's actually one of the most exciting weeks of having tried to bang my drum for the last decade or so. But it's, it's just most exciting for those individual women, who have been hiding away or being too afraid to approach their employer or talk to colleagues or isolating themselves. It's really exciting to get some control on their life back.
It's really positive news. Radhika, thank you so much for your time today. It's so appreciated.
You're welcome. Lovely to talk to you.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Radhika. Exciting and positive times ahead, I'm sure. And I'm just looking at the menopausecharity.org's website right now, actually. It's just gone up. I hope you'll take a look. There's so much great information. Talks about the charity, who it is. Oh, there's the ambassadors popping up. So there's Davina, Lorraine Kelly. Oh, there's me, Johnny Good. Lovely quote actually from Davina. I'll read it to you. It says, I used to think that menopause was an age thing, and now I realise it's a woman thing. For far too long, there's been a shroud of embarrassment, shame and fear around this topic. And this is where it stops. That's what she says. I'm supporting the Menopause Charity. It's not sponsored by any pharmaceutical companies, and it's going to give honest and helpful advice to all women who are going through this difficult time of their lives. Isn't that amazing? Well done, Davina. Just great. All power to you, girl. Then it goes on to talk about the supporters. One of the first ones here, Kate Muir. So she is the writer and the author and the producer of Sex, Myths and the Menopause. That was the Channel 4 documentary. There's lovely Ellie Waters, who I podcasted here. She's the childhood cancer warrior. Very young person to be taking HRT, but seeing the benefit of it post-cancer treatment. We've got Jo Wiley, Claire Sanderson, Zoe Ball. Oh, the lovely Sarah Raven. So Sarah, many of you will know, is the garden correspondent for the Lazare Wellbeing magazine. I've got my friend Anthea Turner up there as well. So many. Lorraine Candy, journalist and author. Then moving on to the trustees. Nice little piece there on Radhika Vora, who we've just spoken to. many others as well. So many resources. If I just go on to, there's the training section that we talked about there, obviously with 14 fish. And I do hope, again, that many, many people will be able to benefit from that. So this section, looking at the website, there's a whole section on training for healthcare professionals. So, and the Confidence in Menopause online course, that's just amazing. That is free for every GP practice in the UK. I mean, that's extraordinary, isn't it? That usually costs £135 a year. And it says here it is an accredited remote course suitable for doctors, nurses and pharmacists keen to improve menopause care for women. Absolutely great. And just lots of resources and a great community. What happens when I click on the community button? Let's just take a little look at this. This is also new. It's literally just gone live. News and advice. Gosh, lots that you can do. And of course, you can donate. Big button to donate, which I hope lots of people will do. And you can also sign up to a free newsletter. So that's at the bottom there. It talks about medical training. Oh gosh, there's some hard hitting stats at the bottom here. It says 10% of women leave their jobs due to menopause. 90% of women get menopausal symptoms, yet only 12% of women are on HRT in the UK. So yeah, lots to dive into. And it says sign up for our newsletter, get the news first on our latest campaigns, research and menopause events. Great. Well, there you go. You heard about it here today on the launch day, the menopausecharity.org. Very exciting indeed. So take a look. You can sign up to their newsletter. Spread the word. Let me know what you think. Now, the best way to reach me is to drop me a comment on my Instagram or Twitter, and you will find me on both platforms as Lizelle Me. I'm really sorry, but I don't do direct message. I just get overloaded. I can't cope with that. So I don't do direct message on either space, but I do try and respond to my public messages. So you can drop me a comment there. There's also lots of menopause chat going on over on the Lizelle Wellbeing YouTube channel. Again, lots of open comments there. And don't forget to subscribe to that if you haven't yet joined up with us on YouTube yet. And of course, I hope you're receiving and enjoying the free weekly newsletter that comes each and every Friday. And that's from my wellbeing team and me. It's completely free, no strings attached, promise. It's just an informative and hopefully inspiring resource packed with recipes, podcast links. You've got special money off offers, competitions and more. And you can sign up for that over on my website, which is lizearlwellbeing.com. Well, that is all we have time for this week. I do hope that we can keep the conversations going on all of this here. You know, it really does seem like a tipping point has been reached this week. I have been writing, commentating, researching, particularly perimenopause and menopause for at least the last 5 or 6 years or more. And it does seem that there is a different vibe. So thank you for being part of it. And until the next time we chat, go well. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.